Are you awake yet? Good morning to you. Wake up, open your eyes. It's nice to be with you. All the best to you this weekend. I do hope you will enjoy the weather and that you're healthy and strong and enjoying yourself with whatever projects you're planning on doing. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I am very happy, very grateful here to be with you. And I tell you that, let me see here real quick. I got to turn this off. There's so much to discuss each and every time. And I thought let's talk about these blood tests and words. Now, I got a quick question. Could you please describe the function of polyphenols and bioflavonoids modus operandi in maintaining capillary function and permeability? Research has indicated that using them in conjunction with D-ribose, which is a specific sugar, nitric oxide, and a diet rich in omega-3 and 6 has helped many people get off heart medications that have deleterious effects. I hope you got that. So he or she wants to know about the function of polyphenols and bioflavonoids. Now, polyphenols are antioxidants, and those are found in many fruits and vegetables. There are over 500 polyphenols. And antioxidants, we have fat-soluble antioxidants, and we have water-soluble antioxidants that have specific effects in supporting cell structure, cell function, and especially when something that's called a free radical is destroying the healthy cell. It's stealing from the healthy cell in order for the free radical to stay alive, to survive. So free radicals are very much in there, and they're important for us to have in our body all the time. So the more antioxidants we have in our body, the more we have support, we have an army to fight off infection, inflammation, viruses, fungi, bacteria, etc. So that's polyphenols. Now, the bioflavonoids we find, just to imagine them, they are found in peppers, but the easiest ones to find are in the peel of an orange or a grapefruit, a lemon or a lime. So citrus fruits, that bitter part of the peel. And when you eat that, you go like, you know, that's it's kind of bitter. But what happens is the bioflavonoids, they help vitamin C to function better. So when you look about through the bioflavonoids, you talk about things such as quercetin, that starts with a Q, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin. There is also rutin. There is hesperidin. Those are just some of the bioflavonoids. Now, what these do, not only do they support vitamin C, they also have their own function, again, as an antioxidant. But what they do as far as permeability of the blood vessels, capillaries, and the arteries, they help with elasticity in the blood vessel and the capillaries and the arteries. So when people go on blood thinners, for example, the blood thinners make the blood very liquid. Is that good or not good? In my opinion, it's not good. There are other ways to make the blood not runny, but to make the blood, to give it a certain viscosity that is essential for it to function. So if that's the case, we got to make sure that we keep that elasticity moving, because every time we move fingers, we bring our arms up and down, or we bend at the elbow, or we bend down our knees, we are stretching the blood vessels in that area of the body. So over time, overuse, you take a rubber band and pull it, everything is fine. Now you lay it out in the sun for 3 hours, you pick it up, you try to stretch it, what happens is it just snaps. So that's not good. So we got to keep in mind that you keep a rubber band for 3 years in your drawer in a little jar, it is still elastic. So we got to keep it in a place and in a condition where it can stay elastic. And that's the same with the blood vessels. We have a responsibility to our own blood vessels and arteries and capillaries to keep them healthy. Now, the bioflavonoids do just that. They help with when blood vessels or capillaries or arteries start to crack because they haven't been nourished correctly, they are getting overused, they're getting old, right? Then then blood thinners start thinning that even more, and they find the cracks, and you start bleeding when you start bruising when you hit your hand or your knee. You get these big black bruises on your leg, so that's not good. The bioflavonoids will help to reduce that. Rutin, R-U-T-I-N, R-U-T-I-N, rutin is the one that is used most of the time, 500 milligram once a day, if necessary, twice a day, will start to take care of this very quickly. Now, so we go on. So we have the polyphenols, the antioxidants, and we have the bioflavonoids in maintaining capillary function and permeability. So I already explained that. The permeability is such that if you nourish it, so and one of the antioxidants I would call vitamin E, because vitamin E from Edward is very important on the inside of the blood vessel, where vitamin C has shown with the bioflavonoids to work more on the outside of the blood vessel. So that is good. Now, research has indicated that using them in conjunction with D-ribose, nitric oxide, and a diet rich in omega-3 and 6 has helped many people get off heart medications that have deleterious effects. Well, I totally agree. So if we keep the blood vessels permeable, if we use the right kind of fats to keep the blood flow viscous in a right way, not liquid, not runny liquid, but a certain viscosity that the blood needs, then you're going to find out that, yes, your heart is functioning just fine. I mean, if you have water running through your heart, that is not as good as when you actually have nutrients running through your heart that keep it lubricated, that keep it healthy and strong. So, yes, I agree with the texter that, yes, you can get a heart medication. But let's face it, if you have a diet rich in omega-3 and 6, so fish and some nuts and seeds, not too many omega-6s, but then you will find out that it helps you get off heart medication. That is absolutely a given. And sadly enough, most medical professionals are not really looking into this kind of research. So they simply look at, is your blood pressure high? Is your cholesterol out of whack? Is there anything else? There is an arrhythmia. Then we just put you on medication. There is just not enough research done on why we are dealing with these issues. There should be. The heart is in the center of our body, and we simply need to know if the heart is getting the support it needs. And not only that, but if the heart keeps sending the blood forward or backwards throughout the system, are the other systems in proper order so that they can actually work with the blood and not pollute it on the way back? So for me, it is very important, as the texter is telling me, that with the antioxidants, high antioxidants, fruits, vegetables primarily, if you cannot do that enough, then I would definitely get some antioxidant powders like acai, a mangosteen, goji, noni, vitamin C, vitamin E, alpha lipoic acid. There is so much out there. Like I said, there's a lot of antioxidants, polyphenols, more than 500. So there's different ways where you can help your body to be healthier. The bioflavonoids, obviously, with the vitamin C, and then the D-ribose, it's one of the essential sugars to give you energy and also helps the body recuperate from strenuous work or exercise. The nitric oxide is necessary to push the energy to all the extremities. So you don't want to have bad circulation in your hands and your fingers and feet and in other parts of your body where you have extremities, like your brain. But for some people, it's the penis or the vagina. Those are all extremities. Then there needs to be plenty of circulation. So it is important that we have the nitric oxide, omega-3 and 6. And yes, absolutely, it will be able to get you over the medication. So having said all that, I hope that answers your question, Texter. This is Gesundheit with Jacobus. So, having said all that, there is plenty to discuss. Let me see here. As I mentioned, that we have these articles, why blood tests are not saving more lives. There was another article that talks about omega-3, the increase of omega-3 in our diets that will help to stave off mortality. And we have this very important topic, the update on the opioid crisis, because of reports that have been released by the DEA and the government, in a way, has released these documents, but it only describes the opioid use and distribution of pills from 2006 through 2012. Let's see, another text. You mentioned that prescription blood thinners have negative effects. Are there better natural alternatives to maintain optimal blood viscosity? The best alternative is omega-3, and I would do the liquid omega-3. I would do the fat, the omega-3 fish. That is, so anytime you use omega-3, you are talking about two fats, and the two fats are EPA and DHA. And EPA and DHA are they both have anti-inflammatory effects in our body. Anti-inflammatory. However, the EPA has more anti-inflammatory effect on heart, cholesterol, depression, and joints. So high EPA is more heart, cholesterol, depression, and joints, where the DHA, the higher DHA, has more anti-inflammatory effects on the brain, so anxiety, memory, vision, recall, that kind of stuff. Also, the nervous tissue, so Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's, MS, neuropathy, Parkinson's, all these are damage done to the nerves. So DHA helps to recuperate from that and help to heal the nerve tissue, the myelin sheath. It is also the essential fat. DHA, fish oil fat, is very essential for breast health in both men and women, and for prostate. So if you have prostate-related issues, the DHA may be the better way to go. Now, every time you buy fish, you either have EPA and so high EPA and some DHA, or you have the cod liver oil, for example, which is higher in the DHA and lesser EPA. So whatever, you have to look at the label and you have to see what you have. Now, some people travel a lot. I highly recommend the capsules. And if you are home and you can mix it in something, I would definitely do the liquid. There are about 14 capsules of fish oil in 1 tablespoon of the fat. 14 capsules in about a tablespoon, give or take, right? So not many people will take it. They take 1 or 2 capsules a day and are wondering why their health is not improving. This could be one of the reasons. So what was the question again? So blood thinners, negative effects. Are there better natural alternatives to maintain optimal blood viscosity? Research has shown that, really, I can't recall right now where the research came from, but I do know that there was a Dr. Joseph Maroon, who is the neuroscientist, neurosurgeon from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has written a book about omega-3 fats, and in that book, he talks about the research that actually indicates that omega-3 is restoring the optimal viscosity of blood. Therefore, that's the way to go. Now, funny thing is this, that when you take medication for blood, so your blood is too thick. So the doctor says, You got to go on blood thinners. Now, first of all, I would say drink more water, because water will really help. People who don't drink enough water, their blood usually runs a little thicker. So if they say go on blood thinners, then they will give you a warning that says do not mix blood thinners with any herb that starts with a G. Ginkgo biloba, garlic, ginger, gota kola, ginseng. These are all herbs that start with the letter G. Now, also it says on the list, omega-3. Do not take fish oil when you do blood thinners. Now think about that. What does it indicate? It means that if you were to take those herbs or that fish oil, you would actually have a double whammy, because it does the same thing. So why don't you focus on taking garlic capsules and taking fish oil? And I would throw in there vitamin C and vitamin E, but all the benefits that they have in the rest of the body, they also help you to keep the blood flow regular. And that to me is very, very important. So, here we go. Now, the article, we finally get to it, I think. Why blood tests are not saving more lives. So back in the 1950s, a scientist uncovered the link between LDL cholesterol and atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. Critics argued that heart attacks occurred in some people who did not have excess LDL. And I explained that in the first half hour. What was not known in the early years is that there are different types of LDL particles, the small and the large. If your LDL surface contains, so the actual molecule LDL, if it contains high levels of a protein called apolipoprotein B. So lipoprotein, L-I-P-O, and then protein, and then the words in front of it, the part of the word in front of it is A-P-O, apolipoprotein B. It is more likely to damage arterial walls and set the stage for atherosclerosis. In some populations, those who maintain low lifetime apolipoprotein B levels have an approximately 90% decreased risk of coronary artery disease. What impresses us is evidence showing regression of arterial plaque when the apolipoprotein B blood levels are reduced. Despite intensive educational efforts, apolipoprotein B blood tests are not routinely incorporated into primary care medicine. The tragic result is a failure to prevent heart attacks, strokes, and other occlusive arterial diseases. Isn't that interesting? So here we're testing simply for LDL, HDL, and triglycerides, maybe some very low density lipoprotein, VLDL, but nobody is checking for the trigger that actually activates the hardening of the arteries, which is on the outside, the surface of the LDL molecule. It's called apolipoprotein B. I already want to tell you that I contacted TriMed Services yesterday, which is an independent blood drawing office here in Bozeman. They are all located on Edelweiss Drive, that is just past Perkins Restaurant in that professional area, Edelweiss Drive. Then when you look at that, they actually say we can provide the apolipoprotein B as well as the apolipoprotein A, and they can also call for the particle size, if that is something that interests you, the particle size on your cholesterol. We know today that atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, is a result of a myriad of risk factors. These include elevated glucose, insulin, homocysteine, triglycerides, and inflammation, along with hormone imbalances. So yes, there are more factors that play a role. But now look at this. Glucose is something we should have under control ourselves. Insulin, same thing. We, unless you have type 1 diabetes, but as far as insulin production is concerned, we have 100% control over the need and the production of insulin. Homocysteine, well, that has to do with, that is a protein, homocysteine, that is involved in the breakdown of proteins into the other protein, methionine. If you do not have the correct enzymes, and the enzymes here is really interesting, there are actually three B vitamins. It is vitamin B6, it is vitamin B12, and it is the B vitamin folic acid. So increasing, if your homocysteine levels are elevated, definitely when they're elevated over 10, you need to start taking some B6, B12, and folic acid. And you will start seeing a decline in that number. You want to get the number somewhere between 5 and 8. 5 and 8. That would be recommended. Triglycerides, we discussed it earlier, the amount of sugar stored in the bloodstream that is stored in the fat cells floating in the bloodstream instead of being absorbed by the cells. And then, of course, inflammation. Well, we talked about inflammation, which has to do with the increase in LDL. Along with hormone imbalances, well, who knows? That's what they say, and I believe it. So what it says next is heart attack incidence peaked in the year 1968, accounting for 37% of all death in the United States. The epidemic was alarming, as it often targeted. Now, don't forget, 1959, it was that great scientist Ansel Keys who told the world that eating saturated fats such as red meat and butter was very dangerous for your health, and that we should go on low-fat, no-fat diets, and that we should indulge in margarine and canola oil, safflower oil, all that crap. So that is 9 years past that time. So when everybody was adjusting diet, guess what? 37% of all deaths in the United States were related to heart attacks. We did not lower the amount of heart attack. The epidemic was alarming, as it often targeted otherwise healthy people at the peak of their careers. Advances in prevention and treatment led to marked reductions in sudden death and improved survival in those stricken. It is still today responsible, heart disease is still responsible for 25% of American death today compared to 37% in 1968. So it is therefore important that we do blood testing. Now, I hear the music. That means we have hit the end of the first hour. My goodness, it goes fast. So please, I hope you stay with us all the way till 11, because as we continue our topics and talk about the apolipoprotein B and the omega-3, as well as the opioid crisis, you will have a full 3 hours. We'll be right back.
Keeping a finger on the pulse of health research. This is Gesundheit with Jacobus every Saturday morning from 8.